All right. Let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray that you would give us guidance and wisdom this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal your truth to us, and that you would compel us to do something with that truth. Father, I thank you for sacrificing your Son for us, for forgiving us of our sins against you personally. I thank you for that salvation that you offer us through Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that we all would just accept that and cling to that and proclaim that victory over our sins. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right. So there's 12 days till Christmas. I don't know the song. I don't know why there's so many birds in the song, but evidently birds used to be a cool gift to give one another. If you're thinking about giving me a gift, I'd rather not have a bird.
Not even a turkey?
Yeah, not even turkey. I don't need any birds. No birds. I'm teasing. So last week we did a series, or we started a two-part. I don't want to call it a series. It's just a little two-parter thing. It's called Jesus in Disguise, right? And we looked at two disciples. And they were walking to Emmaus. They were leaving Jerusalem, walking to Emmaus, about a 7-mile trek. And, you know, they're talking with one another. There's two of them. They weren't really identified even in the beginning. There's two of them. And they're discussing, and they're kind of in an... I'd say they're upset, okay? I won't say there's an argument. But they're heatedly speaking to one another. And they're not mad at each other, but there's an excitement. And then a stranger walks up to them and says, "What are you guys talking about?" And one of them looks at him like, "Are you the only person that's been living underneath a rock? Have you not heard about the death of Jesus?" Right? And it comes out to be that was Jesus that came alongside of him. And, you know, we talked about how Jesus will disguise himself. And even when we think we know him the best, right? Because these were disciples. These were disciples that this happened to. He'll come alongside of us. And we may not even see him. We may not recognize him. Right? And I told you that it's possible, it's 100% possible and plausible that as you look at your neighbor, there sits Jesus Christ. There he is. He has disguised himself as one of us. Okay? Right? So now it's a two-parter because we're going to go now to his birth. And I want to look at that a little bit. I want to see what that really has to do with our faith. How does that impact our faith, this child being born? I don't know. I didn't look up the statistic, and I probably should have. But I don't know how many babies are born every day. A lot. There's a lot of babies born every day, right? What makes this one special? What makes this one single baby special? All right? So I'm going to have there's a whole lot of scripture. We're going to be in the NIV, so you can get your Bible out. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1, actually. I know that's before the story of the birth, but I needed to set it up. And there will be scriptures on the screens as well if you can't keep up. All right? So I'm starting in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. All of that is important. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." If you've been with me long enough, you know I love when angels greet people because there's always an exclamation point. They're like, "Greetings!" They just showed up out of nowhere and they shout greetings. Right? And almost always they're like, "You're not be afraid." Okay? So, "Greetings! You're highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." His kingdom will never end. So I'd like to recap a little bit. There's a girl She's a virgin. She's betrothed to be married to a guy named Joseph. And then an angel comes and says, "Greetings. You're going to have a baby. By the way, it's not Joseph's, it's God's." She's okay with that. It just seems odd to me. Seems odd. And he says, not only does he say, he says, "Greetings, you have found favor with the Lord." I wonder, and I would tell you everything that Lori just told you about Mary, how she found favor with the Lord. It had to be through her faith. Had to be through her discipline. Had to be completely through her character, right? So the angel says, "Greetings. You have found favor with the Lord. Now, you're going to have a baby. And he is going to be a king who will reign forever and ever." And Mary, I just told you, you know, was pretty strong in her faith, had to have probably had an idea of what this angel was talking about. You know, you're going to have a king. It's from the line of David. So, you know, at the very least, she thinks, my baby is royalty, or will be royalty. Right? Does this make sense? So, let's scoot over there to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 17. Now, what happened between what we just read and what we're about to read is everything that the angel said came true. Okay? So now she is, they have made this journey and the baby's being born. And now we're looking at some reactions. All right? 8 through 17. The shepherds, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel, appraising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So you're at work, you're doing what you do, and then an angel pops up and says, "Hey, a really important baby has been born. In fact, this baby is going to be a king. Just so you know." Right? And this is where he's at. You will know him by this star, right? They left. Why is that important? Look what God used in this situation. A shepherd was pretty much a lowly kind of, you know, blue-collar, middle-class kind of job. You know, it was not that it wasn't important, but it wasn't something that the upper class would do. They would pay you or someone like you or me to do that for them. Okay? So he takes these shepherds and he says, "Hey, go see Jesus and tell everybody what you've seen." And they did. When they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Why is that important? Because the angels didn't appear to everybody, did they? Just a few people where you see the angels are appearing. And if you see these shepherds, and these shepherds had the fortitude to go and just tell people, "Hey, there's a baby Jesus been born, and God appeared to me and said, he is the Lord. He will be king." Now, as the rumor mill works, you know, people will say, "I heard a new king was born. I heard we got a new king," right? And so, who would that make mad? Another king. Right? Wouldn't that upset another king? Wouldn't that make somebody be like, I'm not ready to not be king anymore. Got to do something about it. Flip over to the left. You're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Again, if you don't have your Bible here with you, we got it on the screen. After Jesus was born, I'm starting in 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" So these Magi, they went to Herod. They said, "Where's this baby who's supposed to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star on the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. I know that was a really big chunk, but I need you to understand that since his birth, he was causing a ruckus. Since Jesus was born, he was upsetting the balance of what we know as life, okay? There are people that literally just left their job. They just left their work and went to see a baby. That's what happened. They saw an angel first. So imagine yourself, you're at work, and an angel shows up and says, "Hey, go see this baby." And you just walk out. You just do it. And then now these Magi, they come, they're like, "Hey," they go to Herod, "Hey, where's this new king that's born? I'd like to go worship him and praise him." And that makes Herod mad. And I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to try to multitask and read something to you, if it will work. Oh, yeah. I want to read you something about Herod. Herod lived in perpetual fear of revolt. Okay? He built multiple palace fortresses where he could defend himself in case of an attack. His paranoia knew no bounds, leading him to kill 6 of his own family members. 6 of his own family members, including his favorite and beloved wife, and 3 of his sons. Even the notoriously bloodthirsty Rome was shocked at his brutality. Augustus scoffed and said this: "It is better to be Herod's pig than his son," because Herod abstained from pork. You got to kind of get in the mind of this guy, right? You need to know that he's not going to stop at anything. He said and killed every baby in the land 2 years old or younger. Why? He was trying to stop this king from from manifesting, right? If he can catch it at an infant's size, if he can catch it at a baby 2 years younger or age or younger, he can squash this out. Now, what would have happened if he was successful? We wouldn't be here today. He wouldn't be here today. Okay, so now we're getting to the Jesus in disguise part. God disguised himself. His entire glory, he took himself and he became one of us. He blended in. Does that make sense? Okay, so I wouldn't have been able, if you put a whole bunch of babies in front of me, I wouldn't have been able to say, that one's Jesus. Right? He came and transformed to be one of us. And I want you to get this, that he blended in to his environment. I'm going to show you some pictures. Maybe. If my pictures work. All right. Let's see some pictures. Y'all see him? There is a bow hunter there. He has his bow drawn all the way back, leaning forward just a little bit. Hunting tidbit. This has nothing to do with anything. You can wear bright orange. They don't see you. Doesn't matter. Anyhow, go to that picture. There is actually a sniper in this picture. Can you find him? Sniper. There's a sniper in this picture. All right, see the rock in the center? He's on the right of that one. All right, now let me show you one more picture. You'll recognize this one. Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? All right, so what do those things have in common? Okay, here's what they have in common. They took their environment and blended into it to become it. Okay, they became a part of it. If you saw the hunter, he looked like he was a part of the tree. You know, if you saw the sniper, he looked like he was a part of the rock next to him. Waldo just looked like everybody else, right? He's just there with everybody else. But what did he really look like to Herod? Show the next one. That's what he looked like to Herod. He looked like a king. And he was confused by that. And he wanted to stop it. He wanted to stop this king. Okay, you can take my pictures down. When Jesus came to this earth, he came in disguise as an infant. He came disguised as one of us. And I take that kind of personally because he can relate to me now. He knows what it's like to get in trouble from his mom. You know, Lori told us about Jesus stayed in the temple and he didn't go with his mom and his dad. And they were freaking, they were gone for a long time, so I kind of fault them a little bit for being negligent. But anyway, they come back and they get him and they're angry with him and he's, you know, he's kind of a little defiant. And then I wish there was more of his adolescence so we could see that, but there's not. And then as he comes into his ministry, you know, we talk about his turning water into wine. You know, that's his first miracle. And that's kind of where he kind of steps on the scene. He looks just like everyone else. He had the same kind of life everyone else did. But he was different. He was special. Jesus came in disguise. Why? I think it has to do with who he could affect. If Jesus would have been born as a baby and grew up and just looked like that king that I showed you, how would he have affected the sinners? How would he have related to the people that needed him the most? Because it's really hard for a king to come down off his throne and go out into the slums and truck around through the mud. And be with the prostitutes and be with the tax collectors. Okay, they don't do that. They don't mess around with that. But Jesus did. Why? Because that's where we are. He came to where we are. He disguised himself as one of us and came to where we are. As filthy and dirty as it is, he did that. Why? So that we could know his power. We could know his power. What I think is neat about disguises is I think about my children on Halloween, okay? One of my children, I don't know, they listen to this, so I don't talk about them too much. One of my children will wear a costume that looks about like a ninja or a Jedi of some sort, okay? That transforms my child's character. They become that person. You can no longer see them when they're a ninja costume because evidently ninjas are invisible, right? And you can no longer attack this Jedi because he can do like this and you're supposed to fall back, right? They put on this costume. They put on this disguise and they become something else. As Christians, we do the same thing. We take our costume, our disguise of Jesus, and we wear it. We wear it proudly, hopefully. We put on this disguise where we are transformed from this nastiness and whatever we used to look like to this changed new being. Spoiler alert, we're going next year, new year. The first series is called New You. Okay, we're going to talk a lot about that. But I just want to tell you that today, you can take your costume off and you can put your costume on, your disguise. Jesus could not. He was God in disguise with us. Look at the effects that had on mankind. Look at the effects that has on you right here today. Have you ever just been in that place and then the right person comes up at the right time? And if you're not a Christian, you think, oh, wow, what a coincidence. That was great. That was good faith. Or good fate. But if you're a Christian, you look at it and it's like, wow, look at God. God knew what I needed and he sent it to me immediately. And if you're even deeper in your faith, you recognize, look what Jesus did. Jesus did the exact same thing with the disguise that he wore. They were looking for a king. And all they found was a baby. And then as he became a man, they were still looking for a king, weren't they? A lot of the Jews were really upset with him because that's not John the Baptist. His cousin says to him later in life, says, are you the one that we're supposed to be expecting? Even though John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus' ministry, he still kind of looked at him like, are you the one, really? Because you just look normal. I know you're healing people and all that stuff, that's great, but you just look like me. And you bleed like me, and you feel pain like me, and you weep like me. I think that's the hardest thing to wrap my mind around. Because God loved me enough to look like me. Even though I know I'm created in His image, it's still difficult for me to understand. That He came down and He wanted to look like us. He lived in the sinful world sinless. That's what has separated Him from us. He was able to do this perfect. He's the only one that was able to ever be born of a woman and live perfectly. But He did it right alongside, in disguise, with people who were less than. And He does it with you each and every day. Every day that you go through this life, just know that He is right there doing it with you. Now, He has died and been resurrected, but I would tell you, He is still very present. He is still very much here with us. He's still in our midst. And as we approach this season, this holiday where we celebrate His birth, it's just so baffling to me that God became so vulnerable as an infant. God relied on us. He relied on us. Now, I mean, he's perfect. He has His will. He'll have His way. But He chose a human set of parents to help raise His Son. It's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. So what I want you to see is God disguised Himself to look like us. So when you're looking for God, look for His characteristics in one another. When you're looking for Jesus, find His characteristics in us. Are we going to have them all? Absolutely not. Are we going to have some? Yes. And as we live our lives each and every day and we come to look a little bit more like Him, those will be amplified. They will be magnified in our characters. I would ask you, though, don't play around with your disguise. When you put Jesus on, don't take Him off. When you decide, when you really make Him your Lord and Savior, and everyone knows there's been this transformation, there's been this change in you, don't go back. You know, only dogs return to their vomit. Only someone that just doesn't get it goes back. Because once you've changed, you realize, oh my goodness, it's so much better now. And I don't mean that, oh, hey, I'm a Christian, all my troubles went away. That's not what I mean. Oh, hey, I'm a Christian, now someone's helping me carry those troubles. Okay? That's what I mean. I don't even pretend to tell you that your life is going to get easier when you put on Christ, when you accept Christ. I would tell you probably it's going to get harder, because that's going to tick Satan off. And when he gets angry, he starts to attack, and he starts to make things a little bit rough for you. All right? Recognize your disguise, because the enemy puts one on too. The enemy will put one on and come as an angel of light. But Jesus says, and this rings in my ears often, my sheep will know my voice. My sheep will know my voice. If you're with Him daily, you'll be able to discern who's talking and who's not. Who's saying what. This morning, I want you guys to get that He didn't have to do what He did. God could have made up any other solution He wanted to, but He didn't. He chose to be one of us for a reason. He chose to put His Son through agony. He chose to put His Son through distress. He chose to separate Himself from His Son at the very end. When Jesus is on the cross and He says, Father, why have You forsaken Me? He couldn't find God because God couldn't be in the presence of sin. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was holding sin on His shoulders on that cross. It's probably the first time He ever felt that. But He did it for you. Each and every one of us, He did it for us. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. So this Christmas season, I would beg you, I'd plead with you, remember what you're celebrating. Remember that God was born a human so that He could die for your sins. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You for becoming one of us so that we can relate to You better. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Him willingly putting on human flesh and eventually dying for our sins. God, I pray that each day we put Jesus on and we keep Him on. I pray that we're able to get further and further away from our sins and get closer and closer to You. I pray this in Your Son's precious name. Amen. This morning, if you're sitting there and you're thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made, and you're thinking about your inadequacy, just realize He did that for you. If you've never made the decision to accept Christ and His birth and His death and His burial and His resurrection, there's going to be some people up here willing to talk to you about that. So I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to sing another song. Excuse me. I'm going to have the elders come up. We're going to be willing to pray with you. I beg you this morning, though, don't leave those doors without being certain that Christ is your Lord.